Coming up, the Nova 2 prototype is here. I get a long-lost cold steel in a great trade. And then we take a look at all of my recent new knives in four different categories. I'm Bob DeMarco. This is the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. One of my two favorite comments this past week was on my SOCOM Elite short recently put up. And this was Dave Brune, 4001. So I've been carrying this knife for 25 years. 25 years. In my opinion, it's the GOAT greatest of all time. So that was really cool to see. This, of course, is a video on my 2013 SOCOM Elite. So that's 10 years old. And man, it's a fantastic knife. That video, by the by, was set to the soundtrack of Commando, one of the greatest movies. And someone out there, I can't remember your name now, heard that and commented, one of their favorite movies too, Commando. Highly recommend. All right, next up was an interesting one from on the Stroop Knives Push Dagger video. It's Max Daka 7973 says, nice gimmicky, quote-unquote, primitive texture, but the width of the neck on the push dagger is too big. It looks like it's painful wedging the fingers apart. No thanks. It's obvious that the smaller the neck, the closer the grip is to a natural closed fist. Of course, you need some of this width for structural integrity. You can't invert the width and the height entirely. Best option would be probably a circular or elliptical cross section. And if you're following, I like what he says here, because that was kind of my feeling about the knife. I love that Stroop Knives push dagger. And for the purpose, you're going to draw it and stab it into a threat one to several times, but it's not like a hard use knife where you're using it to do anything other than defensive stuff. So to me, that feeling of discomfort would of having a wide neck coming between the two fingers supporting the blade would only come into effect after a little bit of use, which I'm not planning on anyway. But I really like this comment because I've thought about that, about push daggers many times, how it should be circular or elliptical in cross section or something, more comfortable. Yes, but also something that will allow, the closest thing to a naturally closed fist without having to accommodate something separating the knuckles. So Max Daka, thanks for the comment. I really liked it because A, it's something I've thought about before, but also you were very clear in your ideas, your technical ideas of how a push dagger should really be done. And I appreciate that. All right. That said, why don't we now get to a pocket check?
What's in his pocket? Let's find out. Here's the Knife Junkie with his pocket check of knives.
Today in my pocket, as many other days recently, the Tactile Knives Chupacabra. This was a knife sent to me by Tactile Knives right after we had our most recent interview with Mike Miller. And I'm really, really, well, grateful that he sent this, but really impressed with this knife. This was something that the All Dallas made company. In other words, they're Dallas based and everything they do is made in shop or bought down the street, like their stop pins. So this shop has been making high end knives for a couple of years now. They came out of Tactile Turn, the pen company, and they were striving to make something more affordable. And they did that with this knife, the anodized aluminum Chupacabra that's got an amazing Magna Cut blade. To me, that is the center point to this, but I think the main unique selling proposition here is the use of the Super Lock, the Snex designed Super Lock. Snex is a super, engineer knife maker out of Indonesia who, for a long time was cataloging his research and development and creating, really innovative, modern folders. And his, lock here, similar to or reminiscent of the Shark Lock, though they were developed kind of in tandem, not in tandem, but kind of at the same time without the others knowing it, I think. They're different in the guts, but when you look at them out front, they look kind of similar. Anyway, my point is they achieved it with a more affordable tactile turn. Now, this is a $250 knife, so it's not cheap, but it's more affordable. They are a small, I'm going to say it, boutique brand. And to me, that's a compliment. You know, they're a small atelier, if you will. That's what they would have called them in France back in the day, you know, during the days of the salon, etc. So they're making some really, really amazing knives, but they are costing a bit of money because they're all made in-house and very labor-intensive with all the milling. Here we see on the anodized aluminum handle, there is no milling. There's no micro-milling like on most every other tactile knife and tactile turn product. And all that millwork in the handle adds machine time and machine wear and parts wear and that kind of thing. So it raises the price naturally of knives. So they really hit the mark here by making something less complex that they could charge less for, but still give you super high performance. I got to say, the blade on this thing is incredible. Also, it feels really good in hand. I've always been trepidatious about spine-mounted locks or secondary locks, but this and the Vision FG from Civivi and all the Shark Locks from Demco, I don't feel them. I don't feel them back there, even in a real hard hammer grip. So it's just sort of a thing in my mind about spine-mounted locks because they work out great. So this knife is awesome. I'm really excited about it, and I've been carrying it quite a bit. I got to say, I have to admit, more than my Rockwall, which, of course, is a little bit smaller and not so much in my wheelhouse. But this knife is great. I've been really liking it, and they sold out lickety-split. But I know that they're excited about it. They're going to make more of them. They can make them quicker than their other knives, and, of course, they'll be able to sell them quicker than their other knives. So I think this will be a priority for them. Great knife, the Chupacabra, in my front right pocket. Speaking of great knives, this one here, I had the Little Bro from Jack Wolf Knives in my front right pocket. You know, I tend to these days, because I weather's getting warmer, and I'm keeping my phone in my front left pocket. I don't like too much in that pocket, so I've been dropping the slip joint down in with the main folding fixed blade, and I love this knife. This is the perfect size. This is the perfect slip joint as far as I'm concerned, because though I like, I'm more impressed with and kind of wowed by some of the larger patterns out there. I just love a small boy's knife because it's not my main carry. It's small. It's discreet. It fits. And then it's great when you actually need to cut something. And I got to say, Jack Wolf Knives has been, obviously, they've been killing it from the very start. But this one here with the blue Kiranite is very fetching to me. I call that, like, it looks like you're looking at a picture from the Hubble telescope. Absolutely beautiful. Nice sheen on this machine ground satin blade. Comes to a very thin edge. Great walk and talk. I mean, these are just spectacular. Or I guess I should call them stellar knives. Next up in my waistband, not at the usual appendix, but over here at the 3 o'clock. I'm just going to show you the sheath because it's awesome. Cryptek with big DCC clip. But I had the Jed Hornbeak Necromance, an amazing, 4.75 to 5 inch. Actually, I don't know. As I look at it, I think it's about 4.75 inch fighting blade. That swedge is Scandi ground, so sharp as the day is long. But comes in at a more oblique angle, perfect for back cuts and the kind of things you use the back edge for in fighting applications. The main edge here is hollow ground. You got this beautiful straight and then almost a Tanto style blade. You say almost, because it doesn't have that secondary portion here that's flat ground. It's just a hollow ground coming straight, to the tip, but it does have sort of a secondary tip there. In that angle change, just a great asymmetrical fighter. I love this thing. The ergonomics on this are stupid. Sorry. But they are insane. They feel so good. It feels like this was the knife that I was born with in my hand. The grip is so, so perfect on that. Of course, I didn't use that for anything today, but it was on my hip, bringing confidence and also just cool factor. All right. Last up, this is a great knife. I love this thing. I'd been resistant to bird knives forever, I guess, since I could afford Spyderco's. But I've been seeing this knife in the videos of Mr. Babb of the Libra fighting system, Scott Babb. This is his folder that he uses, and he has it set up left-hand carry, but he carries it in the right pocket so that when you draw it like this. It deploys with that wave opener on the pocket seam, and you can wrap it into your hand in Bacall grip like this, or you can leave it in that grip. But I am very impressed with his fighting combinations. If you look at the Libra fighting videos on Instagram, he shows you different combinations in front of dummies, you know, on the Bob dummy. And it's like watching a boxer practice combinations. And is same thing with the knife, with drawing the knife, with using the empty hand for creating space or reducing space, and then using the knife that you draw out to take care of whatever that fighting situation is. I think it's a very interesting and viable form of martial arts to learn, especially for certain lifestyles, like if you're an undercover cop or something like that. It seems like Libra fighting, which is all close in and just caveman. I'm not reducing it to caveman, like, but it works well with all your gross motor motions that are likely to happen during an adrenaline dump and a confrontation. So Libra fighting, very cool. That's why I've been carrying this knife and enjoying it in either in the back right or back left pocket. All right, that's what I had on me. Tell me what you had on you. Put it in the comments below. Of course, as I like to say, it gives me inspiration. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out and buy them, but oftentimes the knives you guys mention make me think in different directions. And that's one thing about the Knife Junkie, and that's why I call this channel that, is because, like a junkie, and I don't mean to be flip about the reference, but you're ravenous in a way that is not rational. And for me, it goes in all directions. As you can see, swords, tomahawks, a small fixed blade, slip joint, any kind of folder, any kind of fixed blade. I'm in. So there you go. All right. So let's talk about the Gentleman Junkie knife giveaway coming up. Let me take a sip of beverage here. April 18th. That's tomorrow night. If you're listening to this on the day it drops, which is unlikely, but we're giving away a special knife here. And I have a secondary thing going into the package, but I'm not going to talk about it right here. But here it is. This is the Civivi Spiny Dogfish. And this is a Gavco designed by Michael Gavick. He is a custom knife maker, a very, very cool guy. He came up right along with Tough Thumbs, who's, Tough Knives, Jeff Blauvelt, in Pennsylvania at the same time earlier on. I know Michael Gavick, is now in Florida, but he just produces these amazing, custom folding, modern folding knives, all named after sharks and based on shark designs. This is the Spiny Dogfish, a very cool compound ground. So that's hollow there. That's flat there. What are you going to call that? Modified sheep's foot? I'm not sure what that is. Modified shark's foot? That's TM'd. I can't use that. Really nice choil. This was gifted to the channel by This Old Sword Blade Reviews. Dave, he has an exquisite collection and keeps them in exquisite shape, or just buys them, reviews them, and then sometimes sends them along to me, and I greatly appreciate that. It's hard not adopting each one into the collection. This one is going to a lucky gentleman junkie with a sharpening system. I'm very excited about that too. But this obviously is the main attraction. It's the knife. Gorgeous thing. All right. So we're going to be giving this away tomorrow night to a lucky gentleman junkie. Want to thank patrons for their, patronage. It's greatly appreciated. Also, you can check out the newsletter, knifejunkie.com/newsletter. Do that, and I'll tell you why. Because if the bottom falls out and all knife creators out there are not allowed to show their wares on all the main platforms or talk about this subject on the main platforms, I'll still be able to reach you with this vital information. So check it out, knifejunkie.com/newsletter. All right, little note here. I've been finally kitting out my Doug Ritter RSK Mark V. That's the tiny little neck knife that comes in the Altoids style tin. I'm a huge addict of Altoids, by the way. I love those things. But I was trying to figure out what I could put in here with the knife. Okay, you have the knife, which is great. But I decided, since I cut myself a bit, I would put these butterfly stitches in there, or the butterfly bandages, some super glue, a lighter, as always, gotta have fire, and the knife. What else should go in there? That's all I'm gonna ask. Just a small thing. Now, I don't need fishing hooks. I'm not out there. I don't live in the country. So this has to be more of an urban, suburban little survival kit in case I'm just going out with nothing. I want to drop it in my pocket. So drop in the comments what you think I should put else in here. You know what I'm saying? Terrible grammar, but tell me what else should go in there and help me out. Okay. Before we get to knife life news, I have very exciting news of my own. I just wanted to show you that. The Nova 2 prototype from the great and powerful Hogtooth Knives and Matt Chase is here, and I want to show it off. All the information for the pre-order will be, I will be announcing that, you know, very soon. Of course, I'm going to blab about it nonstop. But for now, just know that this is the prototype, and it's not changing much from here. I'm going to turn down the light one, there we go. All right. So I had to turn the light down a little bit on this knife because the handle is ivory G10. It's not white. It is an off-white. There we go. Ivory G10. So this is a Sax/Kiradashi. How much of a Sax it is, I don't know, but I've been calling it that. But in looking at it, it is way more a Kiradashi blade. But if you're just listening, straight spine, straight edge, rising up to a centerline point. Hollow ground, wickedly sharp, stupidly sharp. And you've got an acid stone wash, so it's a dark blade, but you got that stone wash. So when you use it, you don't see much damage at all. 154 cm blade steel. And you can see I've used it a little bit here. And then red liners. I love the way that looks, that ivory and the red and then the dark of the steel. Let's see, you've got jimping, you've got the Hogtooth Knives, laser etched logo there. You just got a new laser etcher. And then you have the Knife Junkie logo right there on the other side. And where it says prototype, it will be numbered just like the Nova 1. And like the Nova 1, probably. Like the Nova 1, probably this is going to be a popular knife. So I'm excited about it. I have a feeling that this is more utilitarian and useful to a lot of people. So this might be a more popular knife than the Nova 1, but since they're all handmade, I'm not sure how many will, restrict it to, but, these are things that we're talking about right now. So, right now, sky's the limit. Let's just see. Who wants this? And we'll go from there. All that pre-order information for the knifejunkie.com webpage will be up shortly. Just have to finalize the details, get those ducks in a row. But there it is. It's the Nova 2. I'm so excited. Matt Chase is an incredible, incredible knife maker. Everything I have from him is impeccable. Everything I've ever seen from him at his table is on point. As you know, he's an ABS journeyman smith, so he knows what he's doing. And I'm very excited about this collaboration. He's a great guy to work with also. So can't wait to get this in the hands of those who want it. Let me know. They will all be numbered. We already have people putting in number requests. So if you have something like that, let me know. We will see how many we make and how many we can number. All right, that is the Nova 2 prototype. Thank you so much for checking that out. All right, before we get to Life Knife News, be sure to, as we mentioned before, check us out with our newsletter, but also you can check us out on Patreon. That's a good way to help keep the channel going. thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. You can see the different tiers of support that if you're interested, and then kind of what you get back for that. So I greatly appreciate it. If not, I just greatly appreciate you being here and listening. And if you can't join Patreon, which I totally get, pass the show along to a friend. That is amazing. That is gold in this world. So do check it out. Also, you can check us out on all of your favorite podcast apps if you want to listen to these golden tones on the go. All right, coming up, Knife Life News.
Among this week's specials at Knife Ship Free, the Knight Elements OSS Dagger is back by popular demand. Made with solid A2 tool steel, this USA-made dagger was designed by master bladesmith Jason Knight. You'll get excellent traction with the handle texture, jimping, and scallops. And the Kydex sheath keeps it secure no matter what you do. The RMJ Tactical Kestrel, made in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is a heavy-duty tomahawk built for everything from camping to breaching buildings and vehicles. It's built on 0.375-inch thick 80 CRV2 steel with textured G10 grips. And Christian Lishin makes knives one at a time in his own workshop, and his growing following speaks to the quality he's achieved. We don't get these often, and they won't be in stock for long. Get these deals and other great specials from Knives Ship Free. Just use our affiliate link, thenifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree. Support the show and get a great new knife at the same time. TheKnifeJunkie.com/KnivesShipFree.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
So unless you've been under a rock asleep, and in that case I admire you and I'm jealous, Rosecraft has come out with their first double-bladed traditional knife, and it's really cool, really exciting looking. And because I like multi-bladed slip joints. This one's the Briar Patch Jack. And as you can see, it is an equal-ended cigar jack. So it looks, you know, that's the pattern. That's the handle pattern there. And then it's got that sort of muskrat thing with the two equal-sized main blades on either side. Of course, there's got to be one main blade. And in this case, it's a 3.2-inch clip point blade. Beautiful, traditional style clip point blade. Looks more American than a lot of the clip points they've done recently, which have been inspired by the Sheffield, England style folding clip points. And then that other quote unquote main blade, I'm going to say, that's my quote, by the way. Yes, you can quote me. 3.1 inches of D2. That's a lamb's foot blade. Lamb's foot, you say? Why not a sheep's foot? Why not a Warncliffe? Here's what I can ascertain about that. A sheep's foot, a parallel spine and straight blade edge, and then a gently, but drastically downward, tip to the, or downward, descent to the tip. In a lamb's foot, you have that same extreme, and oftentimes sharp downward turn to the tip from the spine, but the spine and the, straight edge taper to the tip. It's not parallel, but they taper. So lamb's foot, subtle, but hey, we're people of subtlety here. I'm very excited about this one. I do have to get my hands on it. I have not yet. As you know, my buying and trading and my priorities shift frequently here. And right now, it's shifted away from slip joints, but I got to get this one before it goes away because of that beautiful gray bone that they have on that gorgeous, gorgeous knife. It's available now. A lot of great videos out on it. So go check that out. The Rosecraft Briar Patch Jack. Next up, one of my favorite all-time designs from Zero Tolerance, the Sinkovich 045. I have the 452. It's just a larger version. I think Dmitry Sinkovich, who's Belarusian, I think, designer, maker, everything he does to me is just stunningly beautiful and high design. Though a lot of them, he's got a large variation in his design style. In any case, the 0450 has always been my favorite Sinkovich design and my favorite ZT line. They did a whole bunch of different versions, starting off with a very exclusive large version that had one of those jigsaw blades. But this one is in sort of recent zero tolerance style. It's a retread of an old thing. That's kind of all they seem to be doing, though. They did create that one new design not that long ago. But this one is the ZT0450CFDAMS. That stands for Damascus. So this beauty is the smaller, you know, the 3.25 inch bladed version of the design, but it's got a gorgeous Vegas Forge Damascus steel blade. Not sure what those steels are, the two steels, but Vegas Forge is known for using CPM 154, AEBL, and 440C in their stainless Damascus. So probably a combination of those three or two or something like that. Those are the blades that, those are the blade steels that they make sure are on the cutting edge, I should say, because swirled within are other steels. That scale, gorgeous orange, red, and black and gray marbled carbon fiber. That's the kind of carbon fiber that warms the cockles of my heart personally. Staying away from that original basket weave stuff that I have on my 0452. This comes in at like this 0.2 ounces lighter than the original, which has the what do you call it, titanium face on it. And it's available now, so go check it out. Obviously, this is limited, so if you like this or if you're a collector of the model, you'll want to jump on it fast. All right, next up from CRKT, who's been cleaning up their act of late, is celebrating their 30th year anniversary with a new knife called the Soldatna. Now, this one is designed by a frequent CRKT collaborator, designer and knife maker Russ Comer. And I think that's a beauty. Now, he originally made a knife, a custom knife like this, for the founder of CRKT, Rob Bremer, who was going to give it to his son for a hunt, I believe. But look at that beauty. It was so worthy, it got turned into the 30th anniversary knife, and it's being made by, who do you think? Look at that. That's right, you got it, Tops. How cool is that? CRKT has lately been collaborating with other U.S. makers like Hogue and Tops to create some of their more premium knives, and I think that's a great idea. We all know that CRKT has always made great designs, and they've always collaborated with great makers and great designers, but they've sometimes come up short on the materials and the manufacturer. But they lately have been upping their game at going to American manufacturers for some of their stuff, which I think is great. So here you can see the limited edition Soldatna, which to me sounds like soldier in Russian, but I'm just making that up, so who knows. This is the fancy version with walnut handles, which I love, and Damascus. That's also Vegas forged Damascus. Or the standard version is in Topps's sort of standard 1095 and canvas micarta. So these are available now directly from CRKT. That's a 3.5 inch blade, by the way. So it's a little smaller than you might think. I was surprised to read that stat, but then I looked at the handle and saw where the arc is in the handle, and I thought, oh, that's about a 3.5 inch blade. Beautiful knife. This actually looks like one that would fit nicely in the waistband to carry as an EDC. So CRKT's anniversary knife, 30 years in the business, doing cool stuff. CRKT. All right. Lastly here, Boker, another knife company that's been in for a while, but a much greater while. Boker is a very old company, and they have been worldwide for a very long time. Anyway, they are releasing a new world legal knife. Funny I should frame it that way. So this is the Worldwide 2.0, and it's a very tactical looking knife, but it's for those who cannot carry the real tactical knives, but they like the aesthetic, perhaps. This is a slip joint, D2 blade steel. That's a 2.25 inch drop point blade with a nice fuller. This is a two-hand opener, so you're going to need, this is not a double D10 kind of flipper non-locking thing. This is a slip joint, and you need a two-hander. So that's what makes it a worldwide knife. Plus that size, it is small. The blade is sort of puka style from the Great North. of Europe. G10 handle, deep carry pocket clip, both sides. So you get some of the old world, some of the new world in this worldwide, world legal knife. The Worldwide 2.0 from Boker. Looks like a cool one, especially for those of you out there who can't carry the larger lockers. So you got to go with what you can go with. Boker knives. Check them out. There are some others. Check out Who Knives too. Not for nothing. Who Knives out of Great Britain has some really, really great stuff. Very tactical looking, but also not locking. So there are options out there for y'all. All right, coming up, state of the collection. I got some cool new knives here I'm going to show you. And then we're going to get to the main event, the recent new knives. Just be sure to join us here every week on the Sunday edition show. The Sunday edition is our interview show where I speak with a really interesting knife maker, whether at the peak of his career or her career, or just starting out, designers, manufacturers, reviewers. We talk to everyone that is interesting here on the Knife Junkie podcast. And we also have a lot of people still who are interesting out there to pull onto the show. So I try to do that every week. Be sure to join us on Sundays and then Thursday for the midweek supplemental. This week, of course, we will be doing a Gentleman Junkie knife giveaway. So all of that is right here on the Knife Junkie podcast. Coming up, the state of the collection.
The Shockwave Tactical Torch is your ultimate self-defense companion, featuring a powerful LED bulb that lasts 100,000 hours, a super sharp crenulated bezel, and built-in stun gun delivering 4.5 million volts. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose the Shockwave Tactical Torch. TheKnifeJunkie.com/Shockwave.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
Recently, Microtech announced its third generation of many of its knives, and this was one of them, the LUDT. So the large underwater demolition team, this is an old knife for them from their Florida days. I mean, that they've been making this knife, I guess, since their Vero Beach factory days, which is a long time ago. Early 94, 95, 96. Anyway, they changed the design to the Gen 3, and you can see a lot of videos of that out there. And I have to say, that change did not thrill me. I do love what they've done with the Troodon and some of the other knives, but I wasn't crazy about what they did with the LUDT, so I felt this panic in my heart, in my collection, in my gut, saying, you need a Gen 2 LUDT in your collection. And they're going bye-bye real fast. So I looked around and really found very little except this. And all hope is not lost. There are some other places I hear, but I haven't found those yet. But this I got from DLT Trading, and it is, contrary to what looks blue on my screen, it is purple as the day is long. It is a beautifully purple anodized LUDT. From 2023, June of 2023, and that's in M390, regular M390, and I'm thrilled to have it. Thrilled to have this knife. And of course, I've been into the serrations lately, the half serrated blades, especially from Microtech. Teeth are just nasty, and they last forever. Like was mentioned at the top of the show from Dave Broom 4001, who's been carrying his Microtech for 25 years. They're very robust knives, and the serrations just keep them going longer and longer. Great, great action on this knife. Just flies open. I need to tense my arm up. Otherwise it will show, it will reveal all the areas where I have gone slack. This knife really thwacks like that. So very, very happy to have this knife in my collection. And as I begin to pare down, I'm going about that in the right way this time. I have a good roster of knives I'm going to be getting rid of, sadly, but moving them along to people who like them. And it will be knives like this that stay. Knives that have historical relevance to me and then out there. You're like, Bob, shut up. You keep the justifications just flow. They flow. But this is a keeper knife, and it's worth the saving up for, and I'm glad I got it. Next up, this is one I'm really fortunate to get. Craig Vincent, I don't feel uncomfortable saying his name because he's a very frequent commenter on Thursday Night Knives and a friend of the show. He offered me a trade, a cold steel trade. He is a cold steel nut and very happy to say he had something that I really wanted to get. And this is something, a ship that passed me by years ago. This is the Twistmaster. This is a medium Twistmaster. They had a large and a medium. Not sure if they had a small, but it's based on the Opinel knife, the French peasant knife. This one, of course, has a deep bellied, clip point blade, but where it is obviously, right here on the collar. It's got a collar lock. So you just twist the lock and that thing, there's no way that's folding. I mean, it's just not going to fail on you. A way more robust version of the Opinel. I mean, I have to say, I say way more, but I mean, that those knives are incredible and time tested. This came and went, but you know, it has that cold steel build. So, it is stout as the day is long. And I think it is also just a cool piece of cold steel history. I'm very excited to have it. I am sending him, as I record this, I haven't sent it yet. I am trading him this Steel Tiger. And it's not a fair trade because that Twistmaster is no longer around and you can still buy this, but this is what we settled on and I'm happy to send that along. I'm sure that'll go on his daily carry as he carries like 12 cold steels a day. But thank you, Craig, for this Twistmaster. Great trade. And then he threw a gift in there, which you're going to see shortly in our main event. But man, I've wanted one of these for years and I've seen them come up for sale now and again on eBay. But I haven't been looking for them. So I've never pulled the trigger. I'm just thrilled to have this. Thank you, sir. All right. Next up, let's see. Oh, how did I forget this? Okay. I didn't. I'll show you right now. Here is the Hogtooth Little Ruffian. This is the very first Hogtooth Little Ruffian right here. And I'm so excited to show you this. You know, the Ruffian, I carry that thing all the time. A bigger 5-inch, but to me, it's an EDC blade. I carry it on me. It's about 4.75. This one is a radical reduction in size. You've got nearly a 4-finger grip. For me, for anyone with larger hands, and that's a lot of people, this will be a 3-finger knife. For me, I can just barely get all 4 fingers on. And in reverse grip, I got it. I got it in hand perfectly. But it's a beautiful little 154cm clip point. It's got that long, dramatic clip point, putting that tip right center line. Great belly, very nice, long, usable bit of straight blade there. And this, with that awesome sheath and the discreet carry pocket clip, is a great pocket carry. Of course, that's not for me. If this were mine, which it's not, this is the first one ever made, and I just said, let me check it out. Can't quite afford to get this one right now because I just paid for the prototype of the Nova 2, but I wanted to check it out, and man, it's beautiful. I love it. So this one will be this is now available. He's going to have, I think, 25 of these at Blade Show. He's going to make some of these, make a batch of these in the next few months as he works on the Nova 2, but I got to get that information to him. And that's not happening yet. But, look at that. Just a gorgeous little blade, man. This is an excellent drop in the pocket, small EDC, but I mean, that blade is 3.25 inches. So it's not that small, but for the overall length of a fixed blade, it is. So very nice setup here. All right. And then lastly, this one is very cool. This one is very cool. Sent to me by Chaz Fisher. Chaz Fisher was on this show, speaking for a Boker. We were speaking about Boker knives, and he has since left Boker because they took a different tack, more towards EDC, less away from the tactical stuff. And Chaz Fisher is a lifelong martial artist and outdoorsman and practitioner of the bladed arts. And he left the company. He formed a company with his knife making brother. And so this is Fisher Blades, and this is their first knife out. And it is a pocket fixed blade knife, similar to in spirit to the AMTAC Northman. It's called the Beckwith Covert. Colonel Beckwith was the guy who started Delta Force. And there it is. Drops in the pocket. So only about this much peeks out. And you draw it. And there you have an incredible Tonto Blade. The Tonto Blade with the thumb ramp puts that point in the center line, just slightly north of center line, gives you that long straight edge there, and then the shorter straight edge. You've got a finger guard stopping the finger from going on the blade, because this, and then you have a quillion back here for drawing, and a thumb rest in the back if you're going to use this in the reverse grip. And then, of course, that quillion helps you draw. But in speaking with Chaz about this knife, and I'm going to make an in-depth video and have him back on the show to talk about the formation of Fisher Blades and this first knife. But he's weapons forward, which I really, really appreciate. This is first a self-defense everyday carry knife. And he does not intend this to be a pull it out and use it to cut your toast, pull it out to cut string, pull it out to cut a box knife. He intends this to be your all the time on you defensive weapon. And I respect that so much. But I got to say, I've been carrying this quite a bit, and it makes a great EDC, in addition to a great last-ditch pocket defensive weapon. But man, so that does not come up in my life often. Thank the heavens. As a matter of fact, it never comes up. Thank you. Knock on wood. But what does come up are EDC tasks, and what I do have on me are defensive knives like this one. So they get used. And this AEBL is not going to dull quickly from the kind of stuff I use it for. So, Chaz, I want to tell you directly, you've designed an amazing EDC weapon, but you've also designed an amazing EDC fixed blade for everyday tasks. Sorry to say, I know that's not your main purpose, but it is excellent at it. As a matter of fact, one of the knives that inspired it, of many, and we talked about that, but one of the knives that inspired this is the Delica, the ergonomics of the Delica. You can see that in that thumb ramp, and you can see that in the thumb ramp, and it really puts a lot of pressure towards the tip. It also, when you hold this knife in this saber grip, it also pushes the edge downward, giving you sort of a downward raked edge here, which makes in a slashing motion, this tip very, very effective. So, I mean, you're getting a lot of defensive, you're getting a lot of EDC. I know that that's not his main thing. And when I talk about this knife in the close-up video, I'm definitely going to push the weapon aspect of it, because it does make a great weapon. It's set up for in the pocket carry. This is the right-handed sheath. You draw it like this. I also requested a left-hand sheath because, you know, I like to carry things blade forward, but I found that in just carrying it standard like this with the clip that chips, you can get it in that reverse grip just fine in a Pakal style grip. So I'm really, really excited about this. I'm going to be showing this off quite a bit coming up. The Fisher Blades Beckwith Covert. They will be designing, the Fisher Brothers will be designing and have other larger knives in the offing, in both this theme and in others. So I'm looking forward to that. This first showing, which is USA made AEBL and, mine is number 44. Thank you very much. That's my favorite number. These things are, USA made and are available now. So do check them out. Fisher Blades, Fisher, Blade Company. All right, so we're going to see that knife and a couple of others that we've just looked at in this next list. But before we get there, let's talk about this T-shirt. This is the T-shirt of the week, featured T-shirt of the week. Knife skills or life skills? And I couldn't agree more with that. Ask any chef, ask any Boy Scout. Knife skills are life skills. TheKnifeJunkie.com/shop is where you find these gorgeous T-shirts designed weekly by the great and powerful Jim, our producer here, and you know who Jim is. But this is this is one small of the creative things he does every week for this show. That didn't come out exactly right, but you know what I'm saying. He's constantly making stuff. And I love the t-shirts he's been making. Knife skills are life skills. But if this one isn't the one for you, go check out the page after page of the really cool t-shirts he's developed. TheKnifeJunkie.com/shop. And then, I see the subscribe button right there. So subscribe also. It went away, but so now I'm just holding my hands oddly right here. Thank you. Go subscribe. And then you'll get this content coming to you, all the time. We have breached 31,000 subscribers on YouTube. I'm very proud of that. And, speaking of Jim, it couldn't have happened without Jim. That is for damn sure. All right. Let's talk about recent new knives. I feel like I've gotten a whole bunch of knives recently that I haven't done close up videos of. My close up videos are my least popular videos, but I feel like I have to do them because there are people who want to see these knives up close, you know, obviously under the camera so you can kind of examine them. And then I yammer at length. So, you can silence it and just watch them. But I want to show some new ones that have come out because I'm afraid I'm getting behind on my close-up videos and I want to make mention of all these great things I've gotten in the house recently. Okay, first up, I've been on a Microtech tear. That's what pulled me out of my slip joint phase, as I was talking about when we were talking about the Briar Patch Jack from Rosecraft. So it's always something very compelling that pulls me out of something else very compelling. And it was this knife. It was the Amphibian from Microtech and in the Ramlock version. I was talking about Microtech before. I was talking about their Vero Beach, Florida days. Well, that's when the Microtech Amphibian was first born. And they only made 6 of them. And it was a legendary blade, and I'd seen pictures of them. And then at another point, they dusted off the design, and they were a very expensive, small batch kind of production. I don't remember when that was. But then they brought it out for main release this year, in 2023, this past year. And man alive, I couldn't believe that they were making them in an easily acquired way and also not out of reach for me if I save up. These are $300 knives and I saved up for it. I saved up for this. And I'm grateful I did because I love this knife and what am I trying to say? It brought me back to locking tactical knives. It reminds me so much of one of my very, very earliest favorites, the Commander from Emerson, that I had to jump on it. So I got this and was shocked and astounded by the feel of it, by the solidity of it, by the build of it. And what actually got me to get this was not only the design and being thrilled that they released the design, but having recently had in hand one of these. This is the Microtech Stitch aluminum handled Ramlock version. And this one, this was a knife that I had on loan from Jock's Knife, and I sent it to him, and then, and I said boldly, oh, I don't need, now having this stitch in hand, I don't need one because of that cutting edge to handle ratio. And then it never left my mind. And then I got a counterfeit version in a trade, and I was like, I should get the real one. And I got it, and I've been carrying this thing all the time. I love the stitch, and it's the Ramlock version, so it's got the that full block of titanium there that goes, or steel, I think that's steel, that locks into the back of the steel interface, or that locks into the back notch of the tang there. And instead of a bar lock, which is just a bar and 2 omega springs, this is a full block of steel here and a coil spring on a rod. So, I mean, to me, it gives me a lot more confidence. I know that the very early versions of the Ramlock slipped a little bit, or some people had that experience. They have ironed that out very nicely and, not experiencing that. So really high on the Microtech, vibe. I reached out, or I didn't reach out. This was actually the third knife. I had the Heretic out the front, Manticore, very, very cool knife, but I wanted more Microtech, and I thought I could maybe work that out. So I brought that on the Thursday Night Knives, and my good buddy Dave of This Old Sword Blade Review said, I have a mic protect to trade with you, and it happened to be exactly the one that I wanted. So right here, the ultra, SOCOM Elite Auto. I'm a huge fan of the SOCOM Elite, as mentioned up in the comments of the week. My road trip knife is a 2023 Tonto Manual SOCOM Elite, which is just such an amazing knife. It became my road trip knife due to the fact that it had a glass breaker and was my very first glass breaker knife. So, that won that part. And now it's a superstition. If I go driving longer than an hour, it's got to be the SOCOM Elite in my handle, in my pocket. Dave had this for me. We traded, and hopefully he's happy with the trade, because I am happy with this trade. This was a 2018 build, and like the LUDT I showed you before, and I'm about to show you again, man, it kicks like a mule, especially with that 4-inch blade. It comes out like crazy. Now, look at here. The Amphibian and the SOCOM Elite, big knives, 4-inch blades. Love that. Okay, and then lastly, the LUDT. I won't go into depth about that because I just did. But so my Microtech collection has now nicely fleshed out. I have three other Microtechs that you've seen a million times. So I have 7. That's over 5. So that's an official sub-collection per Dave's rules, actually, This Old Sword's rules. I like those rules. So very happy with the Microtechs. I would like to get a Hera 2, Hera 2. I would like to get a Troodon, the new Troodon. And of course, I'm going to be looking at the no blade play out the front that they have coming out too. It's going to be dangerous at Blade Show this year because usually I avoid the production companies and do a lot with the custom, makers, but I'm going to go to that Microtech booth and I'm going to buy something this year. All right, next up, notable gifts. First up, is the Swiss Army 2 from Byron Kennedy. Byron, thank you so much. Byron of Splitting Slices, sent me this as a thank you for the knives I sent him, when he announced his channel. And I know he's got a lot of people who are very supportive of him in the knife world because he is constantly around, in all the chats on all the many, many shows. And so I'm very, very happy that he sent me this. I mean, I'm so grateful. Okay. Bob DeMarco, he had put in that blade. Isn't that beautiful? This is, the 93mm. These are the largest, the Alox, knives. And I got to say, with those 2 extra millimeters, the blade looks better. So. Beautiful, beautiful engraving on there. Bob DeMarco, of course. And then the Knife Junkie. What a class act. Check out Split and Slices. He's got a lot of great videos going up. Not just about knives completely. I mean, knives are always the entree. But he's got a lot of interesting things going on there. So check out Split and Slices. Thank you so much, Byron, for this beautiful gift. But before I put this away, of course, this is the Swiss Army 2. A knife I was really wanting when I got the Swiss Army 1, and that's the reason. That gorgeous Hawkbill blade. Now, this is still a single-layer Swiss Army knife, so it's got a single spring, but it's got that awesome Hawkbill blade, which, as you can see from all the gunk on it, has been getting tons and tons of use. Thank you. Thanks a million, Byron. I really, really love this knife, and appreciate it. I would have loved the Swiss Army 2 if I had found it on my own, but having it a gift from you with those engravings, I really appreciate it. Next up, showed this off a lot last week, so I'm not going to go too into depth about it, but here is the old Confederate style Bowie my brother got me recently. He also got me a K-bar I won't show you here because you've seen plenty of K-bars. That one is also awesome. But he got me this knife. I believe it was for my birthday last year, but I didn't see him. So when I saw him just recently, he unloaded a couple of gifts on me, which is so cool. You know, I talk about him a lot because he's a great guy. He's my older brother. And, yeah, I look up to him in a lot of different ways, not just because he gives me cool knives, But he's just he's a stand-up man and someone to be admired. So I love this thing for that reason, but also just look at that wicked blade, my God. And very, very old, very pitted, but solid as hell. That swedge is sharp, and these are both sharp. And this is just a nasty weapon. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, yeah, you use it for hunting and trapping and splitting wood and all the other things. This is a Bowie for fighting and killing, and I love it. Those downward-upward S-style Quillians look very Confederate to me, or very Southern from what I've seen in my research. And that's a nice, heavy walnut handle. Great knife. And then my bro made this sweet sheath for it. Yeah, love that. All right. Next up from him also is the Kissing Crane's Stiletto. Now, this one is not an auto, but it's got that same stiletto look and setup. Italian-style stiletto with the double quillions. And when I picked it up, I saw that. I saw that it was a back lock, but I instinctively pushed down on that quillion because on a lot of the automatics, that's how they unlock. Beautiful, crisp-shaped blade with the upturn tip. If it were a Filipino Chris, it would be a downward tip for just nasty hawkbill slashing. But here it's upturned and just beautiful. That's real stag. You can see it from the side, uneven, and you can see all the pores in it. But that doesn't appear to be real brass, so kind of an interesting combination there. Great, great knife. And then last up here, this was a gift from Craig Vincent with the Twistmaster. And it is this really cool kukri. Now, I have a feeling that this was a like U.S. Cavalry or Bud K, because I have another one very similar to it, but this one has a very nice sharp edge on it. Thank you so much, Craig, you didn't have to do that, but I'm glad you did, because I love this kukri. It's got a great handle, really feels great in hand. It's big and thick and heavy, but not too heavy to wield and to swing around. Yeah, I've done a bit of that. I've done some paper cutting. This would be better for, not for paper slicing, but it's got a pretty oblique but very sharp edge. But I want to show this too. He sent it with the sheath. I can't quite get it to fit in the sheath, but he put it in this to keep it safe. And I got to say, Craig, this is better than the sheath itself. It is a really well-made cardboard and duct tape sheath. I just might keep it in here, man. I really actually like that. Wrong way. So there you go. Well, no, that was the wrong way. Thank you so much, Craig. For this beautiful kukri. You didn't have to do that, but like I said, I'm glad you did. All right, next grouping of knives are prototypes and new-to-the-market knives. I'll show you the two that I've already showed so far real quick. So prototype-wise from Hogtooth, got the mini, or not mini, the Little Ruffian. Love that thing. I think this is going to be a big seller for him because people love the Ruffian. Every time I show it, they're like, oh my gosh. But I know that people also love smaller fixed blade knives. So I have a feeling this is going to be a golden boy for him. I'm going to do a comparison video with the big one and also with the, just to show you, if you're familiar with the Nova 1 size, this is smaller even than the Nova 1. And this, of course, the Nova 2 is the same dimensions as the Nova 1. All right. Next up in the prototypes and new to the market, of course, I was just talking about this. That's the Beckwith Covert from Fisher Blades. I'm not going to go into that. I just waxed poetic about it, but believe you me, like these two fixed blade knives, I'm so happy and feel very honored to get an early crack at before they go broad, not abroad, but broadly. They go hit the wider market. But so this company, Tesseract, sent me this, and I'm really excited about this knife. And I talked about it on last week's midweek supplemental, and I posited that it was OEM'd by Kaiser, and I found out that it is not. I did not push it. I don't know who made this knife, but I know who designed it. Tesseract is a group, a brain trust, if you will. Actually, that term is usually used in negative connotations. It's a It's a group of designers, product designers who love knives and EDC gear. And they're out of, I believe, Kansas City. And you say, Missouri or Kansas? And I say, I'm not sure. But we know that that's a good knife town, as I think Finch Knives is from Kansas, Kansas City. But anyway, this thing is really awesome. It's a hefty and solid sheep's foot blade. That's S35VN. It's got incredible action, stout and beautiful with those liners. It's got orange liners, tesseract, very classily put on the back spacer, and then just this cool little logo, three-dimensional cube tesseract thing, and the NF1. So really superb action, and jimping all the way up the blade, almost all the way up, so a fully extended thumb can make use of that that jimping, as well as a forefinger in a sort of utility cut. I am going to do a, well, you'll see a close-up video of this week. It's already scheduled, and I very much like this knife. I hope this company does awesome, because they've got the right stuff here. And it's kind of similar in blade shape to this one here, which is also a winner. And I was talking about that before. That is the Tactile Knife Company Chupacabra, which I got right before they sent it to me, right before it went to market. And the first day, like within several hours, it was sold out. So not only am I impressed with the company, but I'm impressed with this particular outing, because it'll get more people behind the wheel of a tactile knife. I think that with inflation and with money being tight the way it is, I do think that people are saving up more for knives. At least I am, and anecdotal evidence from Thursday Night Knives would corroborate that. People are saving up to get more special things for them. Whatever is special, and whatever is saving up, even $40. Like, not everyone has $40 disposable income, and I totally get that. I've been in that position. I was in that position for years. So you're not just dropping, you know, I got five new Civivis. So you save up $40. It might take a few weeks of, you know, here and there, but do it. It's worth it. And then as things scale up, as you get older, I'm in my 50s now. I've had time to accumulate stuff and money. And, you know, not like I've got tons of that either accumulated, but it gets better and better and better. I'm speaking to my younger listeners. So a knife like this at $250, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. But if you like tactile knife and you've, and you believe the trusted voices out there who think their knives look great, and then you look at this and this design resonates with you, this is something that you can save up for. And I'm really happy a company like this, who takes pride in everything being made in-house in Dallas, Texas, so 100% USA made, including all the materials, this is a way to do that. And so I'm happy they're doing this knife, and maybe the Chupacabra leads to other efforts, you know, that are, you maybe you change the blade steel, make it a little more pedestrian, and maybe that brings the price down even further. So, and the fact that they're using aluminum and it's not highly milled like all their titanium is exciting. So very, very psyched about that. All right, last little category here. I'm not going to go deep into that. Are the knives of my own design that are just about to come out. Of course, I just talked about the Nova 1, and we'll be talking about the pre-order for this very shortly. This is not under my control, and I'm very psyched about that. This is the Tikel Knives Agent 001. This is the final prototype printing, resin 3D print. And that resin 3D printing, by the way, is pretty cool, because Tim Kell printed out the scales separately as he would make the knife, and assembled it. And so this is going to be a double-edged fighter. It fits exactly in the profile of the Night Stalker. My favorite of the Tikel knives, the most frequently carried Tikel knife, and also his most popular model. So this is the same size, same format, well, slightly different format in that it's not a ringed knife, but it's meant to be carried horizontal on the on the waist. You carry it however you want, but it was designed to be drawn and used in reverse grip like this. So I'm very excited. This Tim just sent me pictures of it hewn in metal, not yet heat treated, but these are coming out real soon. And of course, you're going to hear a ton about it from me and from Tim on his live show. So there we go. Those are recent new knives. Thanks for watching that, because I needed to get it off my chest. I've had a lot of new stuff here. Some stuff I need to make videos of. Some have gotten mentioned here and there, but I wanted to bring them all together and show them to you. We're coming up on 500. In 2 weeks, we're going to have episode 500 here. And I'm really excited about that. I don't think I've been that consistent in anything in my entire life except for my bad habits. So I'm thrilled about that. And a lot of that is thanks to you guys and gals out there who watch and listen. So thank you. Thank you so much. Jim and I are really have a lot of fun doing this, and we're glad you guys like it. So that's it for the Knife Junkie podcast today. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.